stopping nothing. Hallelujah. His best is just to slow us down a little bit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I gave two scriptures to them, and you know, I'm 74, and back when I came up, they didn't have all these different versions of the Bible. All we had was the King James. So I like to stay within my anointing. Is that all right, Pastor? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want you to know that I'm excited about this morning. If you saw me over there this morning when I came in, I wanted to express some excitement about my being here this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm not the only one that seemed to be excited this morning, because we know what this day is for, right? It's the appreciation, the pastor's appreciation day. Hallelujah. And I get excited every time I have the opportunity to be in the presence of such two anointed individuals. Hallelujah. So that's why I'm excited. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. Now, I'm going to do something that might be just a little bit different this morning. But so that you know that I'm not totally off track, I like to start by giving the definition of appreciation. Can I do that? It says that the definition of appreciation is the recognition and the enjoyment of the good qualities of someone. So we're here and we're excited this morning because we're able to recognize and enjoy the good qualities of the chosen vessels in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. God could have given you anybody, but he had someone special in mind, and that's why he gave you these two people. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Now, if some of you might be more than 18 years old, you've probably been in church for a while. Not only have you been in church for a while, but you've probably heard one or two, maybe three or four, maybe five or six, half dozen or so pastors' appreciation message. Am I right? Anybody done heard more than three or four pastors' appreciation? Hallelujah, Jesus. And if the truth really has to be told, many of you, if you were asked to do so, you could write a pastor's appreciation message this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. But I'm not the cookie-cutter type pastor or minister. I can't walk in the shoes that your chosen vessels walk in, and I can't walk in your shoes, so I have to be what God has called me to be. Is that all right? Can I be just what God has called me to be this morning? Thank you for it, God. But if I can be permitted this morning, Pastor, and to all of these great people in this great house, I want to flip the script. That's what I want to do this morning. I want to flip the script. I'm not going to give you your expected pastor's appreciation message. I'm going to flip the script this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. But in flipping the script, I want to take you someplace. I don't have my Class D driver's license where I can drive a big rig or drive a big bus. All I got is the regular old driver's license that I can drive my car and maybe drive an SUV. That's all I got. But I want you to pretend that I've got that higher grade license, and that I want to take you with me this morning on a ride. Is that all right? We don't want to stay right here this morning, but I want to take you someplace this morning. Hallelujah. But before I get started, I got to make a confession. I want to tell you something very, very funny. See, laughter does good like a medicine. This message may not heal your body, But maybe if I say something funny, it would be medicine for you this morning. Is that all right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever had some special friends that you want to take out for a special dinner and to a special place? And you've told them that this restaurant that you're taking them to, they serve a 5-course meal, and everything about this particular restaurant is just heads and shoulders above everything else. And that you need to prepare yourself, because when you get here and experience the food in this particular restaurant, you're going to say, I never heard or experienced anything like that in a long, long time. And anybody ever been to a real fancy restaurant? In Charlotte, there's a restaurant. They used to call it Top of the Tower, at the top of the First Union Building. Now they call it the City Club. So the people who have deep pockets, now don't get me wrong, I ain't never been there. I've heard about it. I haven't been there. If you got deep pockets, you can take your special guest up there and you can overlook the city of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And it's not a big deal for those who go there to receive a bill for $100+ for each meal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now let's say you take someone there and you've told them what type of food they're going to be getting and everything. And then when the waiter comes out and take your order, and everyone gives them exactly what they want, then you start your conversation because you're waiting for your food to come out. Then all of a sudden, about 10 minutes later, they bring out the appetizer and give you the appetizer. And then you sit down and eat your appetizer. But immediately after eating your appetizer, they hand you your check. And you're wondering, what in the world is going on? I came here for a 5-course meal, and they give me a bill and charge me for a 5-course meal, but all I got was an appetizer. Mm-hmm. Well, you may think that you've never experienced anything like that, but those of you who were here the last time that I was called to preach the pastor's appreciation message, that's exactly what you got. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He brought me all the way from Charlotte down here expecting that his good people are going to have a 5-course meal, and then all he got was an appetizer. Well, let me tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. See, I'm the boss in my house, but every boss has a boss. Am I right about it? Mm-hmm. And so my boss is sitting over there beside Sister Catherine. That's my boss. And it's customary that when I go out to preach or whatever the case might be, if my boss gives me an eye, that means it's time for me to shut that thing down. Know what I mean? So what happened was, is I was up here preaching, and I'd gone from first gear, and then I went up to second gear, and then I went up to third gear, and before I could get it in the overdrive, I happened to look over there. I thought she was giving me that eye, but I missed it. She wasn't giving me the eye to shut it down. She was giving me the eye to go ahead and put it in the overdrive and take it to the next level. So that's what happened the last time I was here. You paid for a $100 meal, and I want to apologize because all I gave you was an appetizer. Hallelujah. So if I may, Pastor, may I get the time that I didn't use before? Can I get that time this morning? Okay. Now, I want to take you someplace, but you need to understand I'm not going to be in a hurry. Tell your neighbor, he's not in a hurry this morning. He's not in a hurry. May I get one scripture put up? I would like to get Psalm 122. And all I want is one verse. That is verse 1. Psalm 122, verse 1. May I have that, please? And this is King David speaking. And it's right up here on the screen. And it says, this is what King David said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody besides me excited and glad? Hallelujah, that you're in the house this morning. Hallelujah, there ought to be an excitement. Hallelujah, when somebody tell you, come and let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if David had enough sense to get excited about that, you and I also should have enough sense to get excited about that. Hallelujah. And see, the good thing about this scripture is that David said, I was glad. Mm-hmm. He was glad. But David knew that he had a community of people during his time in the city that were also glad and excited about going to the house of the Lord. So glad David got excited when the community, other folks told him, let us go. See, this wasn't David telling them. He was the leader, but he didn't have to tell them, let's go. The people told him, let's go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Pastor and Sister Catherine, you ought to be glad that on Sunday morning, you don't have to call the folks and say, let us go. No, they get excited about going into the house of the Lord. Now, leave that scripture up there. Mm-hmm. I need to find something to talk about this morning. I know this house is full of smart people. So what I want to do is I want to count four words back from that period. What's the fourth word back from that period? There you go. Pastor, you got some smart people in the house. That's what I want to talk about this morning. That's where I want to take you this morning. I want to talk about houses. Mm-hmm. Tell your neighbor, he's going to take us someplace. Be patient and we'll get there. Hallelujah. Houses. A house is a place or a building where people live. A house is a place where people meet for enjoyment and entertainment. A house is a place where specific activities take place. Thank you for God. Are you glad to be in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you for God. Let us pray at this time. Heavenly Father, we say thank you for being the good God that you are. When we just think about you, God, and all that you've done for us, hallelujah, Jesus. We just think about it, God, and all that you've done. We get excited, we get excited, we get excited. Because we know that you've been so much better to us than we've been in to ourselves. We could have been anywhere this morning, but because of your loving kindness and your tender mercy, you brought us into the house this morning. And for that, we say thank you. Now, God, here I am standing in your holy place. I acknowledge that I'm a zero. I don't know anything. I don't have anything. Certainly, I can't do anything without you. But God, I say thank you that I'm able to do all things through the Christ that strengthened me. Now, God, I decree your people are good ground. And when the good seed of your word get into the good hearts, the good ground of your people, it'll take root downward. And it will bring fruit upward to your glory. So whatever you decide to do in the further part of this service, we'll be so very careful to always give you praise. We call it done by faith, and we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Help me, God. Help me. As I take you all for a ride this morning, I want you to put yourself in my position as I talk about me. As I'm on this ride, I want you to think in your mindset that I'm also talking about you. You're seeing what I'm seeing, and you're feeling what I'm feeling. And not only putting yourself there, but because it's a pastor's appreciation, in your mindset, you want to put pastor there. Mm-hmm. That you're riding with him and he's taking you on this ride. And we're talking about houses this morning. Back when my wife and I got married, I was 23. And I married me a young woman. She was only 22. Amen. And I tell folks all the time, I said, I married a smart wife. But I'm so much smarter than my wife because I married up, but she married down. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I remember back when we first got married, we didn't have very much in our pockets. I remember I gave $50 to my mother and father-in-law to help on the wedding. We got married in a real small little country church. And we couldn't afford a reception, so the reception was at my mother and father-in-law's house, and we couldn't afford a caterer, so everybody brought a covered dish. And then when we moved into our apartment and things, still didn't have very much. I remember we used to go downtown sometime. And we would go downtown at night and do window shopping. Well, the reason we went downtown at night to do window shopping was, first of all, the stores were closed. But the most important reason I went downtown at night because I didn't have any money to buy nothing. But we could walk around and look at the nice things back then in the stores and wish one day we would be able to have those things. And we would also oftentimes, when we didn't have the money to do other things, we had a car. And back then, gas was 18 to 20 cents a gallon. So sometime my wife said, why don't you take me for a ride? So we get in the car, and when you want to take somebody for a ride, a leisure ride, you want to just take your time. And when you're taking your time, you want to go take her someplace that she hasn't been to make that special. So you would want to go down a road less traveled. And because you were not in a hurry, and she knew that I was taking her someplace, she knew that if she would be patient, we would get there. And that's what I want you to know. Though I'm taking you someplace, if you'll be patient with me this morning, I'll get you there. Hallelujah. And when we would be out riding down the country roads and other places, just taking the time, not in a hurry, you have time to look out and see what you could see. We would see a lot of beautiful open land and farmlands and cattle and trees and flowers and ponds, and every now and then you see a house here and a house there, a house here and a house there. And I remember oftentimes one of us would say, did you see that house? Did you see that house? Have some of y'all done that before, right? And you tell your wife, did you see that house? But sometimes one of us would say, I really like that house. That was the step up. Now, the reason we would say, did you like that house, sometimes taking it to the next level, I really like that house. What we was actually saying, someday I hope I can live in a house like that. Am I in the house this morning? I'm in the house this morning. But let me tell you one thing. The Bible said, despise not the day of small things. Hey. See, your pastors on this appreciation day, they can tell you, don't despise the days of small things, of small beginnings. See, God likes to meet us right where we are. Start us small and begin to grow us from one thing into another. Hallelujah. Well, we can't take those same rides today like we used to take about 50 years ago, because if you're in Charlotte now, about every road you go down, there's houses every place. Yeah, you don't get to see many farmlands or animals or trees. It's houses every place. Mm-hmm. And as you would see all those houses every place today, you knew that somebody had to build those houses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're house builders. And they're all kinds of house builders. You got builders who build small houses. You got some who build medium-sized houses. And you got some who build large houses. And houses normally fall into one of three categories. When we decided that we wanted us a house, we had to start small.
Mm-hmm.
And the lower level of home of house builders is called an affordable house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So when we decided we wanted a house, we had to start at what was called an affordable house. And back in the day, if you owned a lot or a piece of property, and if you were on the same economic level that my family was on, had a little piece of property, a lot, normally you would call Jim Walters.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Jim Walters specialized in the building of affordable houses.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody besides me remember Jim Walters? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me tell you one thing. Just because we had to start small and you had to start small, and even though it might have been a Jim Walters home, hallelujah, that was a good house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a good house. You could grow your family in that house. You could invite friends and relatives in that house. You could do praise and worship in that house. You could pray in that house. There was nothing wrong with living in a Jim Walters house because God was starting you small, but you need to understand he which had begun a good work in you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He will complete that good work until the time, to the day of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I started off in a Jim Walters house. Hallelujah. Started small. So that God could see if I would appreciate where he had me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, appreciation is the recognition and enjoyment of the good qualities of something or someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you're in a Jim Walters home and you were murmuring and complaining, didn't want to thank God for where he started you at. Hallelujah. You're going to be in that Jim Walters home for quite some time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. This morning when I walked in, God was dealing with me over there. Because I started thinking about appreciation. Though we're here to appreciate your gifts, my first appreciation, my first appreciation, not on just one special day out of the year, but every time I wake up in the morning, when my foot hit the floor, my first appreciation goes to my God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name. I had something so very unusual to happen to me on yesterday. And I believe God was using that to help me to better understand the definition of appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Had worked real late, got up early the next morning, went back to a job. And I said, I got to go down to Bojangles and at least get me some breakfast. So I'm down there by Carowinds at the Bojangles. I said, I'm going to go inside and eat because I need to take a break. Ordered me a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich with the tater rounds and me a cup of coffee. And I'm sitting there enjoying my meal, just not thinking about anything, just trying to get some stress off of me from working so hard. Seeing the people come in and the people go out. And as I'm sitting there, my face is turned toward the door where most of the people come in. And as I'm sitting there, I'm seeing a whole lot of folks come in and go out. But all of a sudden, I see this family come in. It was this young man, and looked like he's probably in his late 20s, and his wife, and they had three kids. a little small baby, and maybe the oldest one, maybe around 6. But then I noticed this older couple with them also. So I, in my mindset, I said, that's probably his wife's mother and dad, or the young man's mother and dad. And so when they were walking toward the door, we made eye contact. And so sometimes God will cause you to make eye contact with somebody for a reason. He was teaching me yesterday when I caused me to make eye contact with this family. He was teaching me about appreciation. So the young man, he caught my eye when I was sitting there before they was coming in. And when they came in, it was a line at the counter. So they were standing there for a while before they could give their order. And I'm sitting at my seat, and I'm still looking at him. And every time he turned back, he noticed me watching him. So the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to bless him this morning. I want you to bless him this morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've made so many mistakes and missed God so many times. But because of all of the times that I missed him, my batting average has gone through the roof. I don't miss him near as much as I used to. See, God yesterday started teaching me about appreciation. So I'm waiting for them to give their order. So that when they give their order, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to pay for it. So I'm sitting and I'm waiting. And there was delay. And about every 2 minutes, he'd turn around and look back. And he's making eye contact with me. I said, I just got to wait for the right time. All of them give the order for me to come up there. And it must have been about 10 minutes that they were there before everybody, his mom, his dad, and his wife with the kids came and sat at the table behind me. So the young man, his mom and dad were still there. So I stood up and walked kind of behind them over to the side. So when the cashier said, well, your total will be, I think it was $44 and some change. When the young man grabbed his billfold, I said, excuse me, bro. I said, you ain't paying for this today. I'm paying for your meal. So I put my credit card up there and went on and paid for it. And his mother said, oh, thank you. We saved money today. So I just turned and walked off. They didn't need to know my name. They didn't need to know where I live. I didn't even tell them that Jesus loves you. None of that. And I came back to my seat, got my stuff together, walked out the door, and got in my car. And when I got ready to get in my car and pull all out of that parking lot, a flood came. Let me tell you, some kind of flood came. Shea boba. God took me back. He said, see where you are today? Do you remember the small beginnings that you had when somebody had to bless you and pay for your meal? But because you did not despise small beginnings, I brought you from where you were to where you are now, and now you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why I'm saying we ought to get excited every time somebody says, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because if I had not been brought up in the house of the Lord, ain't no telling where I'd be right now. Could have been dead, sleeping in my grave if I had not been brought up in the house. Thank you for God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. So we started out in a little small house. But we were thankful for that little small house. God has a way of increasing you when you show him appreciation. Hallelujah. You got to let God know that you show him appreciation if you want him to promote you and if you want increase to come in your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. We were in church. See, when I grew up, it wasn't if you wanted to go to church. Mm-hmm. You were gone whether you wanted to go or not. Hallelujah. And see, that's the way it is on Sunday mornings. There are a lot of church houses out here. But in the church houses, you have folks who go but don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You have some folks who go, want to go for a show, but they don't want to receive the food that's being given them in the house. Hallelujah. But there are a few people, and I see some sitting here, in word like there are a few people who likes to get excited about going to the house. They want to be in the house. And when they are in the house, they want to receive everything that's being fed to them in the house. Hallelujah. And when you show God that type of appreciation, he'll pour out more glory on you. Mm-hmm. Anybody besides me want more glory? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to be like Moses. I want to spend so much time appreciating God that when he calls me out of his presence, and then when I get back in front of the people, they say when he came down off the mountain, there was so much glory on his life, the folk couldn't stand to look at the glory. They had to put a veil. Oh, that's how much glory God wants to put on you if you'll just show him appreciation. Hallelujah. You are the one. You ought to be excited about coming into the house so God can put more glory on your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Talking about houses this morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Pastor and Sister Catherine, they started out humble. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing that I like about being in their presence, they're still humble. Mm-hmm. They're still humble. See, some folks... life is able to promote them, but they forget where they came from. See, Saul forgot where he came from. Mm-hmm. And the prophet had to go to him because he didn't do what God says. The prophets told him, he said, God said, when you were little in your own eyes, I raised you up. I promoted you to be the king over my people. But now that you have been promoted, you lost your humility. I'm so glad that this couple right here, they have not lost their humility. That's why glory is still being poured out on their life. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They told me about the time when they first got started in ministry and the little building that they had. Hallelujah. There were hose rain coming in through the roof, and they had to set buckets all over the place to catch the rain that was coming into the house. Hallelujah. Yeah. Rain coming into the house. Yeah. But when I think back, that rain was not to your detriment.
That's right. Amen.
It was God's raining down his glory in the house. Wow. See, a lot of folks didn't understand because they were still in humility. And even though rain was coming in the house, they still got excited about going to the house. See, it's not about how the house looks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more about what's in the house and who is in the house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah. See, you got those who build affordable homes, and you got folks who build what they call custom homes, and you got some folks who build what's called million-dollar-plus luxury homes. Mm-hmm. I go into quite a few custom homes and luxury homes, million-dollar plus. Don't live in one, but that does not hinder my excitement, my appreciation, my giving glory to God, because I look back from where he has brought me from, and my soul says, hallelujah, glory to your name, God, glory to your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for God. And see, you got different type house builders. Mm-hmm. And you know, I go into a lot of homes because my son, who I work for, we do painting and flooring, carpeting and LVP flooring, things like that. So I get to go into a lot of homes to give estimates. And so it's kind of disappointing to me, and it'd be kind of disappointing to you, that you and your wife, you're out looking for a particular type home. God has blessed you that maybe you now are able to get into a custom home. So each home has an expectation. Mm-hmm. There's an expectation of what you find in an affordable home. But there's a higher expectation that you have if you go into a custom home. And then yet there's even a greater expectation if you go into a million-dollar-plus luxury home.
That's right. Amen.
But you know, that's supposed to be the standard. But do you realize that some builders do not uphold the standard? I've been amazed oftentimes. I've been down in the Piper Glen community in Charlotte. If those of you who are familiar with that, that's the high rent category, Piper Glen. I think Michael Jordan used to live there. I think he's a member of the golf course, the club there, whatever the case. High rent district. And I had to go into several homes down there to give quoting for painting. And I have an eye for noticing things. And see, when you spend time in the house, God will give you an eye to be able to notice things. Yeah. So when you go to a house, you have an expectation of that house. But when you go to that house and something on the inside is not up to the standard, does not meet your expectation, you kind of get disappointed and you get sad. But builders sometimes, not everybody, some builders, they take shortcuts and they cut corners. And the welfare of the buyer is not their main concern, but their main concern is their bottom line.
That's right.
They want to increase the profits. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we say, buyer, beware. You need to be able to watch and be able to identify what is not right in a house. Let me help somebody out. You need to be able to watch and be able to identify what is not right in a house. There are a lot of houses out here, but you need to be able to identify what is not right, what does not meet the expectation of the house. See, you can look good on the outside. See, a lot of houses, they look good on the outside. But when you go inside the house, sometimes what's inside does not meet the expectation of the house. There, the one in charge is compromising. They're more concerned about the number who will keep coming if they keep giving them a feel-good word. They want to make sure that they don't step on nobody's toes. And they want to make sure that the Holy Ghost don't get loose up in the house, because somebody may not come back. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, you got to be able to discern what's not right in the house. Because some houses you go to, if the check you drop into the bucket is bigger than most folks' check, whatever you do in the house, nothing is going to be said about it. You'll find some houses like that. They're more of a social club than a house. You know the kind of house I'm talking about. Hallelujah, Jesus. So buyer, beware. There are all kind of house builders out there. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad. Say, so glad.
So glad.
I'm so glad that God himself is in the house building business.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Anybody besides me know that God himself is in the house building business? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. Yeah, God talked to Moses. He said, I want you to tell the people, I want them to build me a house. And see, with God being in the house building business, he does not cut corners. He is not concerned about the bottom line, because the cattle on a thousand hills is the Lord. All of the silver and all of the gold, it's the Lord. Hallelujah. And because it all belongs to him, he told Moses, he said, I want you to tell my people, everybody who has a willing heart, bring me an offering for the house. And do you know some of the stuff that God requested that his people bring for an offering to build a house? He had stuff like silver, gold, Huh? He started out with that, self and go. And see, when God builds a house, he has a plan. Mm-hmm. He has a blueprint for how he wants that house built. Mm-hmm. So he gave Moses the blueprint. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says God told him 3 or 4 times, make sure you do it just the way that I've shown you. Yeah, yeah. See, when God designates for a house to be built, it needs to be built the exact way that God instructed us. But do you know the problem with some houses? It's kind of like house builders. If you got enough money and you got the talent, you can build a house. So there are some people who take it upon themselves to build a house, but he didn't tell them to build a house. You need to be in the house where God had told the one in charge to build the house. See, any old house just won't do. When my wife and I was out looking for a home, any old house just wouldn't do. We knew that a house had to look a certain way on the outside. We knew that a house needed to have certain things on the inside for it to meet our need, for it to satisfy us. And you need to understand that any old house just won't do you. Yeah, God has a blueprint for the exact house that you need to be in. And when you're in the exact house that you need to be in, he'll make sure that all your needs are met. Hallelujah. He'll make sure, hallelujah, that the man and the woman in charge, he has such a hold on their heart that they spend so much time in their prayer closet, hallelujah, that when they come out, they got glory on them. They got wisdom on them. Hallelujah. They got a word, hallelujah, that will change you, that will transform your life. Hallelujah. The Bible said his word is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and very intense of your heart. You're in a house where that's true. Hallelujah, Jesus. So that's why you ought to get excited. You ought to show God appreciation every time you have an opportunity to come to the house. Thank you for God. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name. See, God started small. It was a tent. Now, God who has everything, why do you imagine he told Moses to have the people to build him a house that he might dwell among them? I know he's omniscient. I know he's omnipotent. I know he's omnipresent. So why did such an awesome God tell Moses to have the people to build him a house so that he could dwell with them? God understands that it's a challenge for us to come from where we are up to where he is. But out of his great mercy, he understands what's going on in our lives. Hallelujah. So he wanted this house built so that he can come from where he was down to a specific place where his people was, so that he could have fellowship and pour out his love and communication on his people. That's why you're in the house. So God can pour out his love and fellowship with you and do the things that families do. Hallelujah. My father-in-law used to always say, he said, let me tell you one thing. We are family. And when one member of the family hurts, the whole family hurts. And that's the way God is. He knows right where you are. He knows when you're hurting. That's why he's got the house. See, the house should be, for some of us, should be like a lighthouse. Sitting high with a beacon going out, so that when we are in trouble, when we are in the storm, the lighthouse is there to guide us through our storm, so that our lives won't be destroyed. It'll guide us to safety. That's why you ought to be in the house. That's why you ought to be in the house. This house is like a lighthouse to guide you in your time of storm. Hallelujah, Jesus. But that's not all a house should be. God's house should be like a garden. Mm-hmm. A garden. Mm-hmm. Where you can be planted in good soil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. See, when you're planted in good soil, the soil determines, affects the outcome of the harvest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of you are showing greater harvest now that you're here than when you was in other houses. Mm-hmm. See, you're in the right place at the right time that God designated you to be in the house. Thank you for God. Glory to your name. And see, the house is supposed to also be like a hospital. It's a place where sick folk come. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sick folk. Everybody up in the house is not well. When I came into the house, I was sick. I was not well. So now that God has healed me and I'm walking in wellness, I should not look down on somebody else God guides into the house who are still sick. Hallelujah. Because I used to be sick. And that's why I can give appreciation every time I come into the house, because I ain't sick no more. I ain't sick no more. I ain't sick no more. Hallelujah. There is a balm in Gilead. It's in the house. It's in the house. It's in the house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah, see, David, he had the assets. God said, you're a man after my own heart, but I have strict guidelines for who I want to build a house. Even though I chose you for a king, and I say you're a man after my own heart, I do not choose you to build the house. See, you need to be appointed and anointed by God to build a house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody can build a house if they have the talent and the money. But the house that God wants an individual to build, you got to be appointed and anointed. That's what you have here. Hallelujah. That's why when you think back in your mind's eye from the past, from when there had to be buckets put in to catch the water that was coming on from the roof, because they were anointed, or anointed and appointed, God has elevated them. Mm-hmm. Look what the Lord has done. Mm-hmm. And that's why I got so excited yesterday morning. That's why I was over there this morning doing the praise and worship. God just flooded my eyes again. I knew God was going to do it, so that's why I brought my crying cloth this morning. I said, I know he's going to make me cry. And while the praise and worship going, it just, my heart overflowed. Coming here, seeing that this is the type house that God is looking for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the type house that he's looking for. Mm-hmm. See, you don't have to be the chosen one to build the house. The Bible says that he told David, he said, Solomon, your son, will build a house. Mm-hmm. Now, Solomon didn't actually build the house himself, but God gave, because he was appointed and anointed, God gave him wisdom on the building of the house. So God had brought in individuals who he had gifted with wisdom and talents to be able to build the house. Mm-hmm. See, just the one in charge, hallelujah, God is looking now on everyone in the house. And I'm so glad about God that I don't have to be driving the bus. I'm just happy to be on the bus going where God wants it to go. Hallelujah. So you ought to be glad that you're just in the house doing what God wants you to do, because what he has appointed you to do in the house is no less important than what he has appointed these people to do in the house. in the house. Hallelujah. That's what distinguishes just a regular old house from another house. The Bible tells me that when Solomon built his house, he was 7 years in building the temple. Then he built his own house. So he was 13 years in building his house. See, when you're building the type house that God wants you to build, it's not a quick work.
That's right.
It's not a quick work. Hallelujah. It's line upon line and precept upon precept, one step at a time. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you for it, God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. If the truth really has to be told, especially to you younger generation, you ain't been saved that long. You have not grown to the point that you trust God in all things.
Yeah.
I thank God for the small beginnings.
Let
me tell you the benefit of the small beginnings. It's in the small beginnings that you get to exercise your faith and grow in the things of God. Let me say that again. It's in small beginnings that they exercise their faith and grew in the things of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, good times ain't going to grow you. Let me say that again. Good times ain't going to grow you. As a matter of fact, for most folks, good time is a detriment to them instead of a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm so glad that God keeps me needing him every day in every way.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know that he is my sufficiency. My provision is not based on what's in my pocket. It's not based on what friends or relatives can do for me. It's not based on my 401k or I got a friend who works at the bank. But my proficiency is based on God. Hallelujah. Because he has grown me out of my hard time, out of my small beginnings to the point that I trust him in all things. Hallelujah, Jesus. So it says Solomon built a house. And they said when Solomon built his house, it wasn't just a house. The Bible said it was a great house. Say great house.
Great house.
Great house. I want you to know that right now you're not sitting in just a house, but you're sitting in a great house. Great house. Great house. That's where you're sitting right now. And let me tell you what happens when God has a vessel so yielded that he can grow a great house. The Bible says that Solomon's house was so great that people far and near heard about this great house.
Mm-hmm.
Heard about this great house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. See, some folks will be drawn to come to a great house just based on what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Based on what they hear.
Yes.
So word had gotten out to the queen of Sheba. She had heard so much about Solomon, his wisdom, how he was feeding his people. She said, I got to make the trip. I don't care how far I got to go. I got to get to this great house. I got to see it for myself. And the Bible said, because she was going to be so appreciative of this great house based on what she heard, she didn't come empty-handed. They say she came with a train,
yes, sir,
with gold and silver and spices and precious stone. And the Bible went on to say that she brought so much in her train and gave in this great house.
Yes.
The Bible said, ain't nobody else gave to the house like the Queen of Sheba gave.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you do what God wants you to do, all you're capable of doing in the house, God has you in his book of remembrance.
Yes,
I want to be in the book of remembrance.
Yes.
That's why I'm always wanting to do all I can, while I can, when I'm in the house.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name. It was a great house.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
may I have my other scripture, please? Paul had something to say about houses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, if I'm not making a mistake. This is what Paul had to say. Paul said, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. See, God, in this day and time, after Solomon, he's not building houses the way they used to build them. He's not building houses with things. He's building houses with people. Let me say that again. He's not building houses with things. He's building houses with people. You are the people that God wants to use to continue to build this great house. He said, in a great house, you might come in one way. That's where I was. When I came into the house of God, I came in one way. Hallelujah. But because I allowed sanctification to begin to work in my life, he took me from where I was to where I am now. Hallelujah. And because he's no respecter person, he changed me from a vessel of dishonor, worked sanctification in my life to make me a vessel of honor so that I'm meet and prepared for the... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody besides me want to be used of God? Yeah. You are the people that he's bringing in to continue to build this great house. Thank you for God. Glory to your name, God. You need to understand that. You need to understand that. And see, when I think about this house, I think about Solomon. The Bible says that the people came from far and near to hear the wisdom that God had put in Solomon. That's why you ought to be coming here. See, God done put wisdom in these individuals. Hallelujah. See, most of us really don't recognize what true commitment is. And I had the opportunity, it must have been about 20 years ago. It was before was called into ministry. My daughter belonged to a church. And they had churches in different places. So something in the house, in the church, in, what was it, love? In where? No, south, where those folks came up. Charleston. Something had gone astray in the house in Charleston. It had started off right, but the ones in charge did not, they did not do their due diligence to keep some mess out of the house. So when the mess came in the house, those that God had given discernment to watch and see what's in the house, and they understood that the value of the house is not based on how it looks on the outside. The value of the house is what's on the inside, and more important than that, who is on the inside. So these people recognize something ain't right up in the house. We can't stay in a house. It's to your life's detriment to stay in a house when something is not right in the house.
Amen.
So these folks would drive every Sunday morning all the way from Charleston, South Carolina, to Charlotte. Their services started at, I think, 10. And they held long service. They wouldn't get out of church till 2 or 3 o'clock. They weren't in no hurry. And those folks would stay over after the morning service for the evening service at 6 o'clock. So my daughter invited them to come to our house for the break between the morning service and others. And I had the opportunity to stick with those folks. For 3.5 years, these folks drove from Charleston, South Carolina, all the way to Charlotte, and wouldn't leave going back to Charleston sometime at 9 o'clock at night every Sunday. We really don't know what commitment is.
Wow.
They understood the importance of the house.
Yes, sir.
And being in the house that God has called you to be in. Because he won't put your blessings in New York and tell you you're supposed to be in Sharon. If he tell you that you're supposed to be in Sharon, your blessings from God is in Sharon. Thank you for God. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. And when I think of this house, I think of Solomon and what the Queen of Sheba said. She said when she got there and saw the house, saw what was in the house, his servants, how they were dressed and how they moved in their assignment inside the house. Hallelujah. She said not only how they moved in their assignment in the house, she said how so happy all of those in the house were. Hallelujah. You can't come up in the house sucking on deal pickles and think folks gonna come in. Huh? If they come in and see you sucking on deal pickles, they're gonna say, something is wrong in the house. This ain't the house for me. Hallelujah. So whatever God has privileged you to be able to serve in the house, you ought to be happy about it. And you ought to do it every day unto the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning I left Charlotte. Came down Highway 9. And as I was coming down Highway 9, I saw a road there called Tech Road. And I turned in on Tech Road. Y'all are riding with me this morning. We've seen some houses on the way. Small houses, big houses, little houses, affordable houses, custom houses, luxury houses. But now all of a sudden, Pastor James and Sister Catherine, they turn in off Tech Road into the parking lot right here because they wanted to bring you to a great house. Everybody stand to your feet and praise God for the great house that you're in this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.